Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March the 7th, 66th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Howdy ho.
Howdy ho. Good to be here. And I couldn't find any friends to bring with me today.
Yeah, imagine that. You probably took care of the whole list last time, huh?
I know. I'm planning for the next one. But
ooh, anticipation mounting.
Gotcha. Well, you just tell me who you're looking, you know, who you'd like to see, and I'll, you know, I did what you asked last time.
Well, we could talk about the new planning director.
Wow. Well, let me see what I... Okay, you would have to... I'm thinking maybe a community event, but all right.
Okay, fine. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about camping, plastic, budgets. Boy, that's just too much stuff to even to really be able to handle, but we'll figure it out.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. But before we do our quote this afternoon, here's a nice leadership one from Rosalind Carter. Quote, a leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to be.
I think that's actually a great quote. And that's one I think is very applicable to, I can work on that. How's that?
Oh.
Some of the quotes I have to say, I leave here and go, can I do something with that?
Yeah.
This one I appreciate. I'll work on that.
You're spending way too much time reflecting on what goes on in this studio.
You have no idea. Wait, is there more than I know about that goes on?
Who knows? What does it take to develop ordinances or laws or codes or things of that nature? Is it as complicated as what it might seem? Because it's not a law, so you don't have to have some of the vetting that's involved there, but it seems to take a little bit more than just drawing something up, submit it in the packet on Friday, and vote on it on a Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, my best, well, trying to put this in order, you also, they have policies, which when you talk about how things are done, ordinances do have the effect of law in many ways, and that's why you want to be very, have it very clarified in the language. Well, as much as you want. And normally, you're right, ordinances do seem to take an inordinate amount of time, but I think that's because of the research done to make sure that it doesn't come back and bite you somehow after you get it done.
Unintended
consequences. Yeah. And I think you probably are referring to right now where the CIO's office is working on an ordinance for the... I would say the time, manner, in place of using city, not city, but county properties. And much of this is related to the different protests or demonstrations that have been happening. And
yeah, you got those, but also beach access and beach use. There's a lot of different, you know, once you step back from the initial focus, utilization of county buildings.
Right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, so it really is perhaps a broader discussion than just this one situation.
Well, and that's, you're exactly right, and that's part of why this is taking a while, because you do look at the facilities, the parks, and where camping is allowed, and there are some things that you can, that work there that aren't going to work on the lawn of the courthouse. And so you do want to really be careful. And in this instance in specific, this one that we're working on right now, the CAO, or Phil Smith-Haynes, was requested to, you know, reach out to a lot of community members, and most recently he was at the Human Rights Commission meeting just to get their take on some of the issues and some of the ideas and concepts. And so he's currently working on language to bring back to us, just really trying to be, you know, have as much included. But also, you don't want to have it, you know, there's a point of, are you going to be too restrictive, because you don't want that to restrict people's access to the other facilities.
Ultimately, you still want to have the property accessible.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly.
That's why it's there.
And you know, does it look like that? Is it limited hours? Is it, you know, the zoo in Eureka, or the, I should say, the park always closes their gate at dusk, you know, and that's the kind of things you start looking for, what's allowed and what's not. But yeah, you're right, it does take a long time. Look at how long the medical marijuana ordinance is.
Oh yeah, that's like that one settled in, huh?
Yeah, well,
but you do have different parks in different areas.
And you have the beach, you have a lot of
different.
Does
it have to be one general ordinance for county property, or can it be specific to, let's say, if Luffenholtz is different than Clam Beach, is different than the courthouse? I would think that you could kind of tailor it a little bit, couldn't you?
Well, it's either, I believe you can tailor it, but then do you want to have all those separate ordinances, or are you trying to take one ordinance and potentially tailor it more in the ordinance?
Okay, no campfires. Well, it makes a ton of sense outside the courthouse.
Right, or no.
Out on the beach. Yeah. In the middle of summertime.
Well, or no flammable sources. That doesn't make sense.
Match?
That could. What does it mean? That's
hairspray,
how.
Right?
Well, you know, you could stop giving so many
to the
ideas.
TSA.
I know. Oh, don't even start me on TSA. We had yogurt taken once. You know, I know.
Was it nasty, really old yogurt that the top was all bubbled up?
No.
No?
It was like, you can't, you know, anyway, so that's a whole other subject. You've moved us into airlines now.
Well, that was going to be the topic of the next segment. But it does seem kind of intriguing that one size does have to fit all. I mean, for consistency's sake, for enforcement's sake, it makes sense. And I can understand trying to avoid poundage. But because there are so many different types of properties that the county has.
Well, right.
One roof is kind of going to be tough.
And we gave Philip a very broad direction, and he's really working to bring as much into it as possible, but it does make it take more time, and it makes it kind of unwieldy. So, and of course, the discussion during the meeting, I'm sure, will be very interesting whenever we get the opportunity.
When that surfaces, yeah. Yeah, when you say handle it, oh boy. KINS, I'm sure he would just fully embrace that one. KINS, News and Information Times 423. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, before we get into some of the more exciting stuff, sorry.
No problem.
The county, I think, has got a challenge in trying to get the information out to educate, and I would say, you know, following the marketing equation, and to motivate people to grasp some of the information. Tonight you're starting with the budget stuff. Okay, fine. You know, like I know, how exciting budget is unless you are a government type or a junkie on government. Okay, until money doesn't go into this area. Or that area, the formalization of the event.
When it starts affecting what you're interested in, that's when.
And oftentimes that's too late for this budget cycle. So what is the goal of this series of workshops or outreaches or whatever you're going to call them? What are you hoping to get out of it?
Well, I believe the overall goal this year versus last year, because you were right, last year we went out after we got the first view of the budget and we started finding out where we had some, you know, it was really, it was a bad budget. It was a bad time and we had to make some difficult choices. And unfortunately, it's hard when you go to the communities when you're saying they already know what all the bad choices could be. And so this time we're trying to approach it more from before we actually have the actual numbers, let's just kind of get a gauge of what people in the community are feeling is important to them. And then we don't have to go come up with a budget and then have the reaction from the community. We're interested in getting the input ahead of time. And you're right, tonight, actually not too long from now, at 6 o'clock in Willow Creek, at the Community Services District Board Chambers, is the first one of the budget sessions.
And so then, if you have 2 dozen people show up, is that a win?
You know, I didn't used to think so, but after last year and traveling to Redway and other places to go to the workshops, there were some really great ideas that came from just a few people. So while it does seem like you want a huge crowd, sometimes you can't get that, but you still get some great ideas. So I would like to say that it's always a potential for a win.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, and
crowd control, it helps out there too.
There,
you only
there
have five
you go.
People, it's really easy to control.
Well, I have to say, tonight, Willow Creek has shown in a lot of the meetings that they've been very engaged, and they actually have a lot of people show up, and Ryan attends the meetings out there, and he's got a great relationship with his district, and so I actually expect there to be a pretty good crowd.
Is it more of an informal, let's sit around and talk, or is it a more of a structured presentation style that folks should anticipate, is whether it's this evening or some of the other ones coming around the corner?
Generally, in the past, it's been more of the formal. Last year, we did make it somewhat formal, but had it a more of a question and answer period where it was a give and take, and it was not structured. This time, I'm hoping it's going to be even less formal. We do have a young intern, Paul Lampe, who's been with the CAO's office, who will be leaving us shortly, who has been shepherding this forward. He's the one who's planned these events. So it'll be interesting to see how he makes it look different in really trying to engage folks in the conversation. So I can let you know more next time we meet on how that's going.
Well, yeah. And for folks, if they are interested and they're not at a spot to be able to attend the Willow Creek, are there... Yeah. What kind of pattern are you looking at?
Well, we've got four. Instead of going to every district, we're actually trying to combine a couple of districts. So tonight, obviously, is Willow Creek. March 14th, there's going to be one in Redway for Southern Humboldt, and that's at 6:30. On the 21st, there's going to be one at the Ag Center on South Broadway, which basically will be to kind of capture Eureka, first district and fourth district, basically. And then, again, they'll be going out to the 5th District on the 28th to McKinleyville Middle School. So, and all of them, they start at 6 o'clock and 6:30. So, I would say to check the county website just to make sure you got the right time. But those are the general dates. And, are you going to be coming to one?
Wednesday night, not tonight.
No, not tonight.
Double discount.
I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been out at Spruce Point. I suppose I could go out there and cause some ruckus.
You might be there with a good idea, or not.
No, all my good ideas are shared here. I just show up and stir it. Are you looking for input? Or are you looking for the education to be shared of the information?
Both. Okay. Education is important for people to understand why we are where we are. It looks like, while the county is in, we're not in as bad of a place we were last year, but we're still not in a good enough place that we can add anything. Right now, we've made so many cutbacks, but we are believing, and of course a lot of it depends on what comes from the state and monies that are supposed to be flowing in, but we're hoping that it doesn't have to be as bleak, but it certainly does not mean there's money to start spending all over. So that's the education part.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisorette Virginia Bass. Virginia, since last we got together, there was the, what is the fancy word for splitting up? Bifurcating.
Reorganization?
No, bifurcating.
Oh, bifurcating. Yes, bifurcate would be to split up.
Yeah. I don't know why I retain that word. It's so far beyond what my level is. But taking building planning and economic development, separating the two. Now, I know there are some that were saying, yeah, but building and planning also ought to be separated. So we have planners on one side, builders on the other side, economic development efforts in another area, and then we're ready to go. Kind of the opposite of what a lot has been attempted to do with the whole one-stop shop.
Right.
And I suppose that's the beginning spot, is that label really isn't accurate. Unless you're one-stop, you're dealing with people who have the expertise in the area that you're there for. You know, if you had a general person at the counter and you're there, let's say, for food enforcement or rules, and the next guy was there for wanting to figure out how to development stuff, you really can't have a one-stop shop because they're two different, the topics are
right.
two separate.
Well, and those departments, the original, you know, the planning, whatever, the whole long-term, now that we've bifurcated, as you're saying, that there were so many departments there, even though you tried to be one-stop, it's a lot for, you know, one person kind of to manage, and looking for, you're always looking for better ways to do things and to make it more efficient and better for the consumer. And what you're saying is right. It, you know, so this is an attempt to make it more efficient and better, but it's not one stop unless you're all in the same place, I have to say.
If it's Virginia's world, okay. Yeah,
okay.
I know. Would you prefer to have managers who manage the processes and make sure that they're occurring properly, or a manager who is climbing into the detail and has full knowledge of everything, but is at that granular level?
Well, since you're asking about my world.
Yeah, this is Virginia's world. So.
Thanks for asking. I actually believe that having someone, as you mentioned, that's more informed with the process and making sure the process occurs properly, because I think in a lot of areas where things break down in government or, you know, private industry, someone's got to be making sure it's done right, because when you start, I don't know, when it becomes lackadaisical and no one's really paying attention, it gets kind of out of control, and that's where, you know, bad customer service or, you know.
Well, that's where you start getting the blowback, because this wasn't handled properly, that wasn't handled
right.
properly,
so
it's taking too long, they don't know what they're talking about, blah, 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 blah.
So detail is great, and I think you have to have a measure of detail. But in my world, again, since you asked about my world, I think there's always a place to get the information about detail. I've always known when I left college, I kept all my reference books because I thought, you know, I don't need to remember everything. I can find the answers.
You just got to remember what the book is.
Yeah. Well, now with the internet and other things, I'm not as tied to those books. But so I think making sure the process happens properly is probably more important in my world than knowing every detail of how things could happen, since you asked.
So as you're looking at the departmental structure that the county has, and there's been the push over the years to consolidate and the one-stop shopping, and perhaps now a recognition that one-stop shopping isn't necessarily the magic pill, is the county looking at all of assigning project to a staff person who then becomes their advocate inside the system? Arnie Herskovit has shared that a number of counties do that, and yet that seems to be such an extraordinarily difficult leap of faith in our communities to make that happen that it isn't even discussed as being a possible, rather than recognizing that just around the corner over the hill, not only is it possible, but it's been running for a long time, and it seems to be running more effectively to get projects through the system.
It's funny you should mention this. I actually spoke with someone who used to work with in the county planning and then went over to the city for quite a while and had an opportunity to talk a little bit. And we were talking about some years back, that was the intention, is to get the advocates, people who specialize in a certain areas, you know, and
or somebody
and
assigned to that project to run the gauntlet for you.
And shepherd them through the project.
Yeah.
Well, how do I put this? Let's just say the experience this person had was, is the plan that was set up wasn't followed through. Here we go talking about process again. And another thing that could be really helpful is cross-training, so that people know, and that's the only way you're really going to get someone who can advocate for you, is when they actually know a bit of all the pieces that go together.
Or at least know who to ask.
Right. And so I think it makes sense.
And get response if they ask, instead of waiting 3 weeks to get your answer.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you.
That time compression thing helps, too.
It's got to be the right answer. I've had people that have been told to do specific things, and you do this, and then only find out they were never going to get a permit in the first place. And to me, that probably has made me, really consider that need changes.
So now that the change is starting to occur, how are you looking at this process for replacement? Do you see the two being separate, completely different cultures now, working together as multiple departments do? How do you see the interaction between these two that were one now that have been cleaved?
I would certainly expect them to be working together, because as we know, throughout the entire county, when departments don't work together, it doesn't work very well. You see that at budget time. There are some communities where you'll have a department who might kind of do everything they can to torpedo another department because they're trying to save their own resources. And I haven't seen that happen here, which is really good. But I'm hoping that the departments will continue to work together, but work together better and more effectively.
It could be as simple as just needing to go across the street.
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:43. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, it's kind of intriguing for me to consider the excitement around the airport. It looks pretty. Okay, I got that. But we go back and there was one significant carrier, Air West, and then Hughes.
Then we had the little Century Airlines that was here for a while. My sister worked for them.
We seem to have the ability to satisfy one, maybe one and a half carriers. And that's about it. And I think since subsidies got rolled out, our run, the run to Medford, a couple of the others throughout the country, have just been always exceedingly expensive. And it didn't seem like it was competition driven either. It just seemed to be that is endemic somehow.
to Humboldt County.
Yeah. So as you're looking at either bringing in a new carrier or not, talking or not, expanding or not, letting Tom continue to run the airport or not, what is seen as a win here? I would think that if you threw the definition out to 100 people, if they said airfare to San Francisco would be the same on a per mile as it is from San Francisco to Denver, everybody would be jumping up and down saying, right on, $150, $125, you betcha, we're flying now. But at this rate that it seems to have settled into...
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. I mean, you can go down, spend a weekend, enjoy the ride, enjoy meals, and still come out saving yourself money when it comes time to fly.
Boy, you know, I think one of the issues is, I mean, you hit one, obviously cost, but San Francisco just has its own issues as far as the airport. And I've never...
Not I've, fly out of Oakland.
Oh, well, I mean, but I'm thinking if you're flying from here somewhere, and you're right, if you, many of us, do you fly to or drive to Sacramento, San Francisco, Oakland, and go, well, it adds 12 hours to your trip, but you save a whole lot of money.
Yeah, if it's personal, maybe it pencils out. If it's professional, maybe it pencils out. But it's an option that everybody's looking at. Right. And as you guys are trying to get people to fly, it's not the size of the bird, it's the cost of the ticket.
Well, one of the things that we've noticed is people have really missed the Horizon flights to LAX. And I think we were surprised at the number of people who actually used it as frequently as they did, going down on a weekly basis, going down to work.
Kind of
right, yeah, and people, there's actually people who work down there. You know, we use the service a lot to LAX because it was just simpler than going through San Francisco because of the issues there. And this summer, just to give a heads up for anyone who's planning vacations and you are flying through San Francisco, they're actually closing down one of their two runways in June. So here it is, summertime. I would do what you can, maybe not
Sacramento,
go there.
Sacramento, yeah.
But,
or fly north.
Well, yeah.
Go out to Portland or
right. And
Seattle.
But there is a lot of talk going on about if the LAX connect, you know, comes back in and there's a straight shot, that is very attractive to a lot of folks. But you
likelihood?
Know, the I'll talk to you next time I'm here.
Fair enough. We'll have an exciting show.
You
next
will talk
time.
A lot.
Thanks for coming by.
I don't have my crystal ball.
Yeah. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love to see you tomorrow.
How do you see